If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verse 12, just one verse today. And I just titled the sermon of Fueling Our Prayers. And I wanted to give more of an exhortation rather than a sermon, just trying to encourage us so that it will lead us in a time of prayer. And I hope all the fasts, the One Desire Fast, ODF, has been good for you. Some of you, how many of you, just so I know, how many of you, this is your first time actually fasting for an extended period of time? Can you raise your hand? Okay, that's a good handful of you. Remember, this is a volitional or voluntary fast. It's not an involuntary, like you forgot to eat or you ran out of money or whatever the case, but you're purposely trying to fast. And I think for some of us, because this is our first time, one of the things that I believe in is that if you have a good experience doing like a spiritual discipline or some kind of spiritual encounter, that really lays down a foundation for future times of fasting. And I'm praying that that will be the case for all of us. I think it's really easy to, as we think about this fast, to lose focus of why we're doing this. And I see this all the time in my life, and especially a lot of people who have fasted before. It is so easy to lose that focus of why are we doing ODF? Why are we fasting? Because what we see ourselves doing all the time is to focus more on the actual doing of it. Like, oh, are we eating, like, is there any meat in there? Right? Or we're going to do liquid, like, oh my God, liquid, what does that mean? And you're thinking through all this stuff. And I think it's kind of interesting, the type of questions that come up during this One Desire Fast. It always comes up around this time. Like for social media, some people are thinking, okay, I can't do Instagram. That's like obvious, right? I can't do Snapchat. Okay, fine. But how about Pinterest? You know, that's kind of social, but not really. I'm just looking for different boards that will help me to work on my projects, right? So we start thinking like this. We're asking these types of questions. I was even thinking like, no meat. And so some of us are sitting there, okay, no meat. But is processed meat really meat? Because it's not really. So as long as I spam and some of these other things, it's not really meat. So we start asking these kind of, Pastor, can we eat like processed meat? Is that really meat? Another one that I think is really interesting is when it comes to the liquid fast, which we're going to start doing on Sunday, sundown. And I get these crazy questions, and I know some of you have been thinking this. Now, please, if you ever asked a leader or you thought this, don't be like, oh my God, how does he know? Because don't worry. There have been many, many people before you who have asked these questions. They will say, okay, liquid, Pastor, does kanji count as a liquid? Because it's kind of liquidy, you know? And so, like, people start thinking, like, this kind of mindset, like, does that really count? I mean, some people get really technical and they say, is the viscosity of a liquid, like, what percentage will constitute liquid? Because some of you are thinking, well, can I drink a smoothie? How about a shake? Because it's kind of liquid, but not really, because the thickness of it, you know, viscosity is a little bit high. So some of you are probably thinking, like, can we do that? And I'm sharing some of these things because the problem with these types of questions, now listen to me carefully, the problem with these types of questions is that we are looking at the wrong thing. In fact, if I could be very honest with you, you have the wrong heart. Because not only is it like these questions, but maybe just your attitude towards things, it's not so much, I want to seek God and know God. I want to be able to be completely surrendered so that he can speak to me about anything and I will obey. Instead of that kind of heart, what we're focusing on is, what can I do so that I can still say that I did the fast, but then it won't hurt me too much? So we miss the point. And I think for some of us, we're at a point where we might have already failed. And I see this in a lot of people. Once they've messed up, they go, well, you know what? I messed up already, so just forget it. I'm not going to fast. And to you, it's a very fatalistic mindset, and that doesn't help you. I know another group of people where they failed, but they have so much pride, reputation, image to protect, and all this kind of stuff. So what do? Like, even though you failed, you're like, yeah, fast has been going great. And you're like, yeah, because you just ate a hamburger, right? And normally what happens is this, is that sometimes you have a life group like a fasting kind of dinner where you're just eating vegetables, but you just came from a steak dinner and you come and like, yeah, I have a little bit of salad, and just try to make sure that everyone knows that you're still fasting, but you're really not. And so once again, you lose the heart behind why we're doing this ODF. What I wanted us to do is just kind of watch this video really quickly. It's supposed to be a little bit funny, almost ridiculous. It's what we call a caricature. Our caricature is just an overblown exaggeration of the real thing. And so you'll see this as these guys, some of you guys know them as the skit guys who are known for just doing all these different dramas and kind of portraying different issues in Christianity. And so I want you to watch this because they're talking about fasting. And what they do is they actually list different types of people and how they respond to the issue of fasting. And I want us to kind of watch this. And then afterwards, we're going to go into a little bit of huddle group to talk about what happened in the video. So let's watch this together. Kind of ridiculous, but I want you to get into a huddle group, maybe groups of three. And if you can make a group of four if there's not enough, but try to make a group of three. And I want you to answer these two questions. First of all, simply this. Which of these caricatures bother you the most, right? These are people that you encounter all the time. And explain, why do they bother you so much? And then the second question is, which of these caricatures do you get tempted to become? Like that temptation to be like this one caricature. And maybe you could explain a little bit, all right? So I think we listed, so you got the dieter, the wire, the liar, the martyr, the legalist, and the hunger strike, you know? So go ahead, and I'm going to give you about a good 8 to 10 minutes to discuss, and then we'll come back together. Go ahead. Let me just encourage us to, you can look at our church app. I have some of my notes there that you can just kind of follow along so you know kind of what we're going to be talking about here. And also, we just want to make sure that we continue to. It was encouraging today because I was able to kind of show somebody how to actually use the daily soap app. We kind of went over it together because, as you know, it's a new semester. So we started kind of pairing up with other LCG people who wanted to do it and just being able to go over that. So, how many of you are using that? Can I see a sign of hands? Okay. Wow, a lot of you. Praise God. That's great. And just to know that it just came out of the people in our church. I think in after we kind of test it out a little bit, I'm going to kind of introduce it to the rest of the HMCC churches. And then hopefully through that, there will be other people who can use it just throughout the world. And I'm really excited for all that God is going to be doing through it. So let's give them a hand for those who have made it. Amen. We really appreciate all of you who are working on it. I heard this is like their part-time job now, right? All the bugs and constantly fixing it. And so, by the way, whoever you are, I sent a little message, you know, just to fix something. Anyway, we love you in Jesus' name. You guys are doing an awesome job. Romans 12:12. Let's read this one verse. I'm going to talk about this. It says this: rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Let me talk about this one verse and kind of break it down so that we can understand what it is that Apostle Paul is trying to say. In this section of the book of Romans, Apostle Paul is giving some traits of how a true believer, a person who has experienced the gospel, the power of the gospel, how they should live their lives. So for the first 11 some chapters, even all the way to the beginning parts of chapter 12, he's talking about this whole gospel, why that's so important. And then you will see in chapter 12 and on, it's about how you ought to live your life in view of this gospel. And it's kind of interesting that it is all throughout the writings of the New Testament, the epistles, the letters, that you will notice there's a strong connection between experiencing the gospel and the lifestyle that people live. Now, this is very important. A lot of times you could go to church all your life. You could have heard the gospel message and you know how to even share about Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead. But one of the things that you will see in the New Testament is that those of you who have experienced the power of the gospel, not just head knowledge, but the power of it, that it should literally transform the way you live your life. Now, the problem is with a lot of us, we get it all wrong. We get it backwards. And we've been talking a lot about this because we talked about the human paradigm and the gospel paradigm. And I want us to understand why something like fasting, something like prayer, you have to get it right. You cannot get this idea in the wrong way, or it's going to be a legalistic. It's going to, some of you are going to be that martyr. Some of you are going to kind of look at this to judge other people. But one of the things you have to understand about the gospel paradigm, or the human paradigm, is this. It operates under, I do, so therefore I am loved, I'm accepted, I am righteous, I'm good. See, are you with me? It's always, I do something, therefore I am. But the gospel paradigm says, I am accepted, I am loved, I am righteous, I am made good only by God and God alone, therefore I do. Are you with me? And so often we know this in our heads, but we have a hard time living it out in our daily lives. This is the reason why you have to strengthen the identity that you have in Christ. What he has done for you, so therefore I am X, Y, Z, and all the other stuff, and therefore I will do. If you can get that properly in your mind, and so then every single time you do something, you realize, why am I doing this? I'm doing this because God loves me, because he first loved me. I'm doing this because he has forgiven me. I'm doing this because he has transformed my life. I'm doing this because he's good. I'm doing this because he has been patient with me. Can I get a good amen to that? And if you have that kind of mindset in everything, not just fasting or prayer, but with life group, coming out to life group, doing LCG, sharing the gospel with people, not because someone tells you to, or reaching out to people because someone, one of your leaders says, reach out to people around you. But when you start thinking about, I am, and you fill in the blank with everything that the gospel entails, it gives unto you, then you're going to want to do. This is the gospel paradigm. In fact, this is the thing that will transform your life. And I think when we think about fasting and prayer, it is easy to slip into this human paradigm rather than the gospel paradigm, as I just mentioned. And we want to make sure that every single one of us in our church, whether you are just a newcomer or those of us who have been in our church for a long time, we are praying that we will be more gospel fluent, that you will speak the language of the gospel in everything that you do. Even in your conversation with your friends, in the conversation in your life group, in your conversation with yourself, sometimes you talk to yourself. I pray that it will be gospel fluent, that you could speak it so well that you know how to handle some of the different situations that you will face. So in verse 12, Paul mentions three specific things that mark a true believer in Christ. Those who have experienced the gospel, this is what's going to happen. This is what they will start doing. Because they are loved, accepted, forgiven, all this stuff, because of the gospel, they will start doing this. And these are the three things that he mentions. First is praise with perspective. Paul says a true follower in Christ will what? Rejoice in hope. That's the first phrase, rejoice in hope. The Message translation translates that first phrase as cheerfully expectant. Or the NIV says, be joyful in hope. I think there's something powerful about seeing a Christ follower who has this kind of hope. I think this is one of the most distinguishing marks of a Christian, if you call yourself a Christ follower, is that you have this cheerful expectancy and you have this joyful hope that the world cannot understand. I mean, every religion prays. There are a lot of religions that fast. So if you think I'm fasting and I'm praying, that's why it makes me such a good Christian. I'm going to tell you right now, there are other people who are not Christians who are doing these things. But when you think about this expectant, cheerfully expectant, also joyfully hopeful, this kind of attitude, rejoicing in hope, I really feel like unless you have this understanding of the gospel, it's just going to be euphemism for it, or this optimism that you have in your life where you're thinking, oh, life is great, but it's not really. I think in this world, there are so many people who live life without hope. They go through the mundane things of life and they wonder to themselves, what is my purpose in life? Why am I doing what I'm doing? What am I living for? And please don't misunderstand me. Some of you have asked these questions and you are a follower of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that you should start doubting your salvation. But I will say to you, if you genuinely receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that means that you're not going deep enough. You just said that prayer, and maybe that initiated the work of God in your life, but you stopped. So now you have to struggle with lordship in your life. You got to go deeper. This is the reason why when we think about this kind of rejoicing in hope and having this joy, this cheerful expectancy, this is the kind of hope that God and only God can put in our hearts because he is the foundation of this hope. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It's up here. You could just kind of read along. It says this. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with what? Come on, say it. Joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident what? Hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's God who is the source of this hope. And who will fill us if we would just learn to have this kind of hope that's in him, that he gives to us, that's when we will have the joy and the peace. And it says it overflows with this confident sense of hope. I'm wondering in this ODF, what and where are you placing your hope? I know that some of you are trying to pray for different things. And some of you are like, Lord, if tonight we sing that song, then I'm gonna be a martyr for Christ, you know? Which, by the way, that was very powerful. So, Dion, make sure you pick the right songs. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. At the end, I'm picking it, so, you know. But just think about this for a moment. Like, even though some of us in this room are praying for different things during this ODF, I think if you put your hope in trying to get an answer, if you put your hope in trying to get some clarity in things, but you're not really putting your hope in God, you're going to be very disappointed. Now, once again, listen to me carefully. You're doing the right spiritual things, but where you're putting your hope is completely different. You want some kind of result instead of putting your hope in God. When you put your hope in God, you will find the strength, especially when you're fasting. That's why Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says what? But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. It says they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Like where you put your hope will determine where you find joy, peace, strength. So if some of you are fasting, and I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but if some of you are fasting and you're putting your hope in something else other than God, I'm telling you right now, it's going to be you're going to dread it. It's going to be a hunger strike. You're going to be like a legalist. You're going to be like the martyr. And it's not going to help anyone. I think when we have this kind of hope, it gives us perspective in life. In a sense where it doesn't matter what happens, it doesn't matter what you're going through, but you're able to still praise God. You can rejoice. You can praise him with joy, with this expectant, cheerful expectancy, because why? Your hope is in something that is eternal and does not change. This is the kind of perspective that we need, and this is what causes us to praise him. You know, I think one of the hardest things as you get older, you're going to realize this more and more. There are times when I'm trying to plan out something with my family or just even with my kids. And life is so busy. And just in Hong Kong alone, even if we were in the United States, I think it will still be busy. But life is busy and it's going to get busier. Trust me. Right now, you think you're busy. You're not busy. If you don't believe me, just 10 years later, maybe 20 years later, just send me an email. By that time, it's going to be like virtual reality. So just hook me up, you know, just kind of like, we'll connect. But I'm telling you right now, 10, 20 years later, you're going to be like, wow, Pastor was right. We're not busy. That was nothing. Like, I'm busy now. And there are times when it's so busy, like I literally have to plan out almost every single hour. because there's other things I got to do, things I got to take care of. And so there are times when I'm trying to plan out something with my family, sometimes with my kids, because I try to spend one-on-one time with them. And I remember one time, I won't tell you which kid, but anyway, there was this one time, and I'm just like, okay, after this meeting, I'm going to come home, and you need to be awake. Because right after I spend some time with you, I have to go to another meeting. I'm sorry that I just don't have all this afternoon, but like I want to still spend some time with you. Let's have lunch, and we're going to do what you want, you know, the favorite food that he has, or now you know. But anyway, so I said, just make sure you're awake. And this, you know, my kid is like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so off into the night, right, in dreamland. And all of a sudden I wake up, I go to my early morning meetings, I take care of a couple things, and then I come home, and guess what? Sleeping. And part of me, I'm just thinking, like, what part of what I told him last night does he not understand? And then there's like this thought pattern that goes through my mind. You know what? I'm just going to let him sleep. And maybe he'll wake up really late in the day, and then he's going to be hungry. I'm like, sorry. The food is gone. But that's my flesh. That's not the nice father side. So I'm like, I should wake him up. But like, I'm tired of trying to wake him up. I'm like, you gotta be responsible. And so I'm just trying to debate back and forth, and I could just feel like there's no joy. Like, I don't want to go out to have lunch with this person. I'm just like, because they're not respecting what's going on in my life, and I'm trying to accommodate because you're my child, and I want to spend time with you. And so I realized in that moment that what I put my hope in or my perspective has all been like, look at me, I'm trying to make time for you. And that's when things don't go the way I want it to go, I get very frustrated. But if I were to pull back and say, even though I'm busy, like the moments that I have with my children, they're going to be more and more limited as they get older. And so even though it didn't work out at the time that I wanted to work out, that at least we could still spend some time. And by the end of the day, everything worked out. But I was all in a fit. I'm like, wake up. What's wrong with you? I was doing all this stuff. And I just totally realized, like, I lost perspective of why I wanted to even spend time and eat with this person. Sometimes it's an issue for some of us. It might be an issue of control. Some of us, it might be an issue of lack of trust. Some of you might be an issue of maybe that person thinking or feeling a certain thing. Whatever it is for you, oftentimes we lose perspective because we're putting hope in the wrong things. So if we can just rejoice in this hope that Jesus Christ is the source of this hope and place our focus on him, have our perspective on him, then praise and rejoicing will come forth. The second thing that you'll notice is not only praise with perspective, but patience under pressure. Paul also says in the second phrase, be patient in tribulation. The word tribulation is translated as affliction, distress, trouble, or pressure. So when you feel some of these things, distress, trouble, pressure, affliction, what Paul is saying is that as a follower of Jesus Christ, you should be patient in these things. Now, as you know, I think all of us can testify, this is one of the hardest things to do in life. How many of us, when we face stressful times or even trouble or some kind of pressure, the last thing we can do is like stay, the last thing we want to do is stay calm and to be patient. What normally happens is that we take matters into our own hands. I see so many of us who are trying to manipulate situations because we're scared or we're losing control. I think some of us, what we do is that we start distracting ourselves and turning to things that are pleasurable so we can just get our mind off it. How do I know this? Just look at your break. Like, oh my God, no more ministry team. Thank God. Oh my God, my leader, no more. What's my, can you take care of this? No more. I am free as a bird and I could do whatever I want to do. And what do we normally do? We literally run away. We escape. And that just shows for us that we don't really know what it means when we face pressure, distress, trouble, affliction, to learn how to be patient. I think this goes back to the issue of hope. When you put your hope in God, then you're going to be able to patiently wait upon God to work powerfully. Not you, but God. Even when things are hard. That's why, as I shared many times before, it is vital that we learn how to trust in God with the hope and expectation that He knows us and He loves us and He cares for us and He will always do everything for our good and for His glory. Like, if you could just know some of those basic things, it will radically transform how you handle stress, how you handle difficult times. If you know that He knows you more than anyone else in this world, that He loves you in spite of all that stuff that's in your heart, and that He cares for you, He's watching out after you, and that He's going to work out because He's powerful enough to work out all things for our good and for His glory, I'm telling you right now, it will literally transform the way you handle the pressures and stress in life. And one of the powerful things for us is to understand this hope, that not only is God the source, but hope is not hope unless you're able to trust. That's why I like Romans chapter 8, verse 24 to 25. Listen to what it says. Now hope that is seen is no hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Amen? Does that make sense? When you are hoping, it's usually something that hasn't happened yet. Are you with me? Because if you're able to see it, that's not really hope. You're like, okay, there it is. But if you can't see it, that's what will produce this hopefulness to say, I believe that God will do it. But every single time you think about your future and you get anxious, every single time you think about maybe just a situation, you don't know how to handle it, you think about something in your life that maybe it's out of your control, and you start feeling all this frustration or maybe anger or whatever it is, it just shows you that you're not putting your hope on the right thing or the right person. I'm wondering in this ODF, even as you're struggling and facing trials in your life, are you still able to focus on Jesus and patiently hope in Him? That's why this patience under pressure, whatever you're facing, really shows where this hope is from. Third and last thing is that not only praise with perseverance, patience under pressure, but you will notice perseverance in prayer. The last phrase of chapter 12, verse 12 in the book of Romans, it says, be constant in prayer. The word constant, I want you to kind of study this and look at it. It's translated as persisting in, devoted to, or being faithful. So if you reread it again, it says this. It says persisting in prayer, or be devoted to prayer, or being faithful in prayer. This word, devoted, is the same word that you see in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Do you remember the early church? It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to what? And prayer. This idea of being devoted means something that you have the sense of allegiance to, where you are persisting in, you're being faithful to. That's why Paul uses the same idea when he wrote to the believers in Colossae about prayer. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Listen to what it says. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. The word continue that you see here in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it means to give constant attention to a thing. Or to give unrelenting care to whatever that is. To persevere is another way to look at it. Or to be in a constant readiness for. So that's powerful. When Paul says continue steadfastly in prayer, he's saying to give unrelenting care. Like, don't stop. Keep on doing this because this is so important to your life. And then in Colossians 2:4-2 again, Apostle Paul connects steadfast prayer with what? Watchfulness and with thanksgiving. He probably knew that when we try to persevere in prayer, that it is so easy to get distracted and lose sight of what it means to be alert. We just get very spiritually lethargic and lazy. And as soon as you start getting apathetic or you start getting distracted, it is easy to lose the sense of thanksgiving in your heart. So Paul is very purposeful. Even in Colossians, when he talks about what? He says, be steadfast in prayer, be watchful, and with that, have a thanksgiving in your heart. Because they're all connected. Like a lot of us, when we do things, we're not thankful because why? We're not being watchful. We don't see Satan trying to distract us. We don't see Satan trying to do things that we're just like, oh, whatever. So we're like, why am I doing this? And we stop praying. And I was thinking about my life, and I was thinking, why is it that when it comes to prayer, when I stop persevering, is I realize that I forget about the goodness of God and all the blessings I receive. Unconditionally and undeservedly, I receive from God. And that's why the more you think about how God is good, it's going to cause you to want to be more watchful and do things out of a thankfulness of your heart. You know, it's easy to be tempted to lose that sense of watchfulness because we get so distracted and focused on other things. Something happened last night that I thought was really interesting. It was funny because as I was walking, I saw one of our church members. And so usually they're the ones who kind of like freak out like when they see me because they're like, oh, you go to the grocery store? Or, oh, you know, they just are freaking out, you know? And I'm like, yes, I'm human. Nice to see you too, you know? But I saw this person and this person was really focused. Because it looked like they were like in a hurry, like to another meeting or something like that. So I saw them first. So I said, what's up, girl? I'm like, I just kind of like trying to be like a little bit like, what's the word for it? Not like the typical hello. So I just wanted to say like, hey, what's up, girl? And this person just like walked past me. And normally I'll be like, you know what, you know, well, forget you. Yeah, no, I'm kidding. I'm going to pray for you. But I don't know. I haven't seen this person for a long time. So I just kind of like took a couple steps back where I'm like, so then I became a little bit more snarky. I'm like, hey, mama, you know, and just. Then I'm like, my gosh, is this person rude or what? Did I do something? Did they not like my sermon? What's going on? So finally, like literally this person passed by. So I kind of like backed up a little bit and they kept on walking. It was a very crowded area. So I said, you know what? I'm going to tap them on the shoulder. So trying to be very pastoral. I should have carried one of those shepherd sticks, you know? So I literally turned around, walked about four some steps, and I tapped this person on the shoulder and said, hello, so-and-so. By the way, I asked this person if I can use this illustration, so praise the Lord. But I will not mention their name because, yeah, anyway. So I tapped this person on the shoulder, and I said, hello, so-and-so. And they're like, whoa, Pastor, they're like, Pastor Seth. And I'm just like, do you know that I was like calling out to you? And this, you know what this person said? This person said, oh, I thought that somebody was catcalling me. And I really didn't know what to say to that. Like, part of me, I wanted to say, are you serious, girl? Another part of me, I'm like, well, I guess so. Because I'm like, hey, what's up, girl? Hey, mama. So I'm like, I can see that, you know. So I was just like, wow, you were really focused. And they said, yeah, I thought you were catcalling me, so I just didn't want to, you know. I just wanted to ignore whoever that was. But I'm just like, it's just me, you know? It's just me. And after just a little exchange, and they were at a meeting, so I'm like, okay, I'll see you later. It was just good seeing you. And then I was walking by, I'm like, dang, that girl was focused, you know? Just like, pew. Even though she heard, like, that distracting, like, hey, girl. She was focused. And I was just thinking about that. I'm like, wow, if we had that kind of focus, focus on Jesus to just walk straight, can you imagine what would happen to our lives? I was just thinking about this. You know, here we are walking towards Jesus, and then Satan goes, hey, you. Just like walk straight. But the problem with so many of us is like, hey, you, like, yes, you know, literally like run over to these voices. We get so distracted. And that's why I think part of prayer is learning how to be watchful as we pray, to be thankful as we pray, and to what? To be persistent as we begin to pray. I'm wondering, during this ODF, are you finding yourself persisting in prayer? Or are you giving up because you're so easily distracted? Let me just kind of put this together and close here. If you think about these three topics that Paul mentions just in this verse alone, hope, tribulations, and prayer, you will notice that he talked about these three things already in the book of Romans. Because if you look from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 11, he talked about hope. He talked about trials and suffering in chapter 5. And he did talk about prayer throughout, even in chapter 8. And the reason why it's amazing that in this verse, he puts all of these three things together is because they are linked. How and why? Because if you can gain perspective by having this rejoicing hope in your life that's in Christ, then you're going to be able to endure any tribulation in your life. And the only way you're going to be able to have this resolve to endure difficulties and trials in your life is when you learn how to persist in prayer. Are you with me? So by learning how to persist in prayer, that's when you're going to be able to go through and endure the trials in your life. And as you endure the trials in your life, that's when you're going to have the sense of hope and expectancy. And it works the other way around too. When you have this rejoicing hope that's focused on Christ, it will enable you to endure tribulations and difficulties in your life. So then it will cause you then to what? Pray and persist in prayer. Are you with me? It goes both ways. And that's why I think Paul mentioning this in verse 12 is such a powerful thing. Let me give us a couple things to think about, even apply after today or tonight. First of all, just as kind of like next steps, what we're going to be doing today and hopefully this coming week, make sure you prepare well for the second week of ODF. I know some of us are going to try to do this liquid fast, and let me just say this right now, and I'm going to be as blunt as possible so that there's no misunderstanding. It's going to be hard, and some of you are going to get rocked. And some of you, all you're going to do is complain. So what I'm encouraging you to do is prepare well. And part of preparing well is this. You got to stock up your fridge. Because as soon as you wake up, you're going to want to eat something. And then you open up the fridge, there's nothing there. That's when the temptation will increase. But if you already have soy milk, you checked out the viscosity of that, and it's legit. And you have other stuff like juices in there, then it will be readily easier than to say, okay, I'm fasting, liquids. I'm going to fast with liquids, so it will help you to focus. That's part of preparation. Some of you don't, I don't have a fridge, Pastor. Well, see, that's when you have to know where the 7-Eleven is. So as you kind of think about your train ride, as you think about whatever, you know exactly where you need to go. That's part of the preparation. If you're not prepared and you start going in the sundown on Sunday and Monday morning, I'm telling you right now, you're going to be rocked. Prepare. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, even the practical things. get this prepared. Some people said, well, I'm going to just, is it okay to blend fruits? I'm like, yeah, as long as the viscosity. No, I'm kidding. I'm like, that's fine. Just as long as if that's liquid, that's fine. And I was just thinking like that takes time. Amen. To cut up the vegetables or the fruits and to blend it, it takes time. So if you're not prepared, like, okay, I need more time to do this so that I can take this, what's going to happen is you're going to be in a hurry. You're not even thinking about it. Then you're going to go off and then you're going to be more tempted to do other things. So prepare well for the second week. And the second thing is this, proactively listen to God's voice. And part of proactively listening is not just saying, okay, God's going to speak to me. And you just go through the day. When you proactively listen to God's voice, that means that you are literally creating moments, spaces in your life where you can actually allow God to speak. That prayer is good, but you also have to let Him speak to you. Amen? Some of you, and this is no disrespect to any of you who shared about signs and wonders and all that kind of stuff. That's great. Because I'm telling you, sometimes God powerfully speaks through signs, and we should be open to that. But if you depend on that, I'm going to tell you right now, some of you are like, God never speaks. Because you're looking for a sign, and the sign might not come. I think one of the clearest ways that God speaks is through His Word. So be more alert this coming week as you read the book of Psalms. We're going to be on chapter, 20 or so, even, and then in the book of Acts. Like, listen, try to, as you're reading it, let Him speak to you through that passage. Because He can speak to you through the Word. That doesn't have to be this humongous sign. So create the space and the moments where you're listening and let Him speak. Like just recently, like I was listening to some of the new songs we're going to be singing at the retreat. And as I was listening to some of these songs, man, like God was like speaking to me about certain things in my own life. Because I created the space and that moment of just listening to some of the worship songs. And I allow God then to use that to speak to me. So be proactively listening to the voice of God. The third and last thing is this. Pray more purposefully. And I share this because I think some of us, we just pray, Lord, I don't know what to do. Should I do this internship or do this? Or should I do this? And you just sit there and like, oh, like okay, I'm done. And that's why sometimes your prayer isn't as very effective. My thing is this. One of the most powerful ways to pray purposefully is to take even a psalm and pray through every verse. Like for instance, I think off the top of my head, I'll pick something that many of us are familiar with, like Psalm 23. The Lord is my, what? Shepherd, and I shall not want. Take that first verse and say, God, I acknowledge that You are my good shepherd. And I have all these wants, but if I know You as my shepherd who loves me and knows me, and I know You, I know Your voice, then there's nothing that I will ever be in want of that's outside of Your will. Just in that one verse, I pray 20 seconds worth. Like if you can start praying that purposefully, like through the scriptures and even through your life, different things. Because do you see what I'm saying? I think I'm just speaking to some of you who are praying through this ODF about decisions. Like what are you going to pray about? Lord, should I go on missions or not? And I'm sorry to break it to you. God's not going to be like, yes. He's not going to do that. You're going to sit there all day. Your mom or your roommate, are you okay? That's not a very purposeful prayer. You just want answers. You're putting in the thing and then it's not moving. God doesn't work that way. When you purposely pray, you're taking scripture, what you read in the soap, and then you're actually praying through this. And then God will then begin to move your heart. I was talking to some other people, and they're just like, yeah, like, I'm trying to feel, like, you know. And to you, I would just say, that you're hungry. That's your hunger pain. And you're like, oh, I feel God. No, you don't. That's your gastric juices being released because you're hungry. So be careful when you're trying to look for signs and all this stuff. Don't do that. Please, don't misunderstand. I believe in those things. Those are good things.
But if that's the thing that you're hoping for and banking on, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be disappointed. If God does that, praise God. But when you're more purposeful to say, God, I'm going to pray, but with a greater purpose, then you pray through scripture, pray through different things. And I would even encourage you, listen, this might be so counterintuitive. Don't pray for yourself. Pray for others. When you start praying for others in your life group, you start praying for, He will start showing you things. You'll start getting ideas or visions or just different verses that come to your mind and you're like, whoa. Because so often you focus so much on yourself during this ODF. God, what should I do? How long should I do it? Should I do this? Should I do this? And then, chirp, 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 chirp. That doesn't sound like crickets, but you know what I'm talking about. It's quiet. There's nothing. But when you start praying purposely, I'm going to pray for my life group leaders. I'm going to pray for my LCG. I'm going to pray for all these other people who haven't come out to life group for a while. And you start praying. And guess what? As you start praying purposely like that, next week, one of the life group guys that you haven't seen for like 2 months comes out. And you're like, whoa. Then maybe then you start thinking, God, you're powerful. And then the thing that you're praying about or you're worried about in your life, God will then connect it with some other stuff. Pray in that way. I believe God can do it. Amen? As we close tonight, we're gonna put up here. I want us to spend some time praying for ourselves. What I mean by praying, it's not just praying like, Lord, do you want me to do whatever? Pray for your heart. Like some of you this week, you've just been complaining. You just had bad attitude with this fast. That is not the kind of fast that God desires and requires. Repent of those things. Maybe there's some stuff that happened during break that you just really didn't have time. You know it was wrong. You know it wasn't good, but you really didn't repent. See, there's a difference. This is what I'm realizing about human nature. Like somehow you know something that you did was wrong. So in your mind, you're thinking, oh, that's wrong. So God, I know that's wrong. Forgive me. And you just leave it at that. And somehow you think that it's all good. But what you fail to understand is that God, what he wants is your heart. That means that sometimes you need to spend time in praying and say the very thing that you don't want to hear. Like, God, I'm weak. I'm messed up. I'm so self-righteous and that you had to use this to humble me, to break me. God, forgive me. And be clear of what it is that you want God to forgive you of. Because sometimes we do this repentance in our brain and it doesn't work. But to verbalize it, coming out of our mouth, owning up to it, admitting it, confessing it to God, confessing it to other people, that what you begin to experience is greater freedom in your life. So I want you to spend this time. I don't know what has happened to you over break. I don't know what you've been going through this week. But let's use this time, a personal time, to pray. And one of the things I'm going to ask you to do is use these two verses. Psalm 42 and Psalm 63. You could just choose one or you could read both of them. And what I want you to do is pray purposely through these verses about hungering and thirsting after God. And let him show you different things that you've been hungering and thirsting after that's not from him. And repent of those things. And then afterwards, I'm going to have us pray in our life groups. And afterwards, I'm going to pray together as a whole church as we think about all that he has in store for us in 2019. We have the retreat coming up. Even this weekend, we have the family, church family gathering. We're going to share about the vision for 2019, especially in light of the bold vision, some steps that we want to take. We're going to be looking ahead into the future of other things that he's going to be doing. Yes, I know some of you are praying about next year. Yes, I know some of you are praying about whether to apply for missions or not. I know those are important things. But don't make this fast about you. Think outside of yourself. And as you purposely pray, I believe that God will then redirect it to those things that you're praying about. It's counterintuitive. You want to pray for yourself about the future, but I'm telling you, you're going to be like, you're not going to hear anything. But start praying for other people. Start praying for other things outside of yourself. And then that's when God will use these things to speak to you. I know that he has done that in my life. I pray that you'll experience that. Amen. Father, I just pray at this moment that as we look into your word, as we think about this past week and even this past month or so, being on break. Lord, if there's anything that we have sinned against you or fallen short, I pray that you will use this time to speak to us. Lord, for some of us, there's a lot of angst and anxiety and just different things, frustrations that we're feeling in our hearts. I pray that you will use this moment, this space here, so we could pour out our hearts. Help us to be like Hannah in the scriptures, where she poured out her heart. I pray that we'll pour our hearts to you, Lord, and get our hearts right. Lord, we don't want our hearts to be damaged in any way. We want to be able to keep our hearts soft. You're going to speak to us about that even this Sunday, about our heart. I pray, oh Lord, that you will use this time to speak to us as we purposely pray for the things of your heart. Minister to us at this time. In Jesus' name. Can we just do that? I want to give you some time, and I want to just lead us and navigate us through the next section and the section after that. So can you at least use this time to either read those two passages or just start praying? If you know what you got to pray about, what you got to repent of, what you got to confess to God about, then just start praying right now. Some of you might want to write out your prayers. I've been telling people there's so many different ways to pray. You use different parts of your brain. When you write out your prayer, it's different. When you say the prayers, it's different. So find different ways to communicate with God in this moment. Amen? So let's just do that right now.